we have Brendan Shanahan, the president of the Maple Leafs, in studio. What's happening, Brendan?
How are you?
Good. Busy times for you guys, man. I mean, it's been a crazy month. Why don't we begin with the initial announcement? You made the announcement, I guess, a few weeks ago that Lou would no longer be the GM. So take us through that. I mean, actually, let me ask you first of all, did Lou want to continue to be the GM? Did he make that clear to you?
You know, we really didn't get that far into the discussion. We had we were all aware of his contract situation. I think that you make plans, but then as you are getting there over the course of 3 years, you're constantly evaluating and assessing what you have in the organization, the direction you're going. As Lou says, you make plans, and then you have a 5-year plan. You change it every day or every week. But as we got a little bit closer, I just sort of looked at what we had in the organization and had decided that that the 3-year time period was the right one. I thought that we had some good candidates within the organization, and just sort of felt that I wanted to be proactive on this and not necessarily wait till everybody's contract was up and sort of skate everybody to free agency and not have anyone available to me as well. So I just thought that the timing was right. You know, when you make decisions for organizations, when you're trying to build, at least this is just my opinion, I think that there's different people for different times of an organization's development. And Lou is certainly somebody that we really needed at the time. And part of him coming in, as much as he took on a leadership role, was also he was very giving in his mentorship to a lot of other people here, including myself. So I think he knew always from the beginning that that was part of what he was trying to provide for me, was experience for our office staff, our coaching staff, our scouting staff, our management staff. And so he did a great job for us.
So after that decision, you go into a position where you know Dubas and Hunter both want the job. Were you at all curious to find out what was outside of the organization? I mean, at any point, even leading up to the announcement, like...
Oh, no, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't evaluate what else was out there. I've even heard some people say, why didn't you... I think some people have ideas about how they would do it, or decisions they would make, or how they would unfold it, but unless you're doing it in a daily, practical way, it doesn't necessarily make sense. The suggestion that I would tell Lou that he wasn't coming back and then announce his successor the same day would almost imply that while we were in a playoff run or the playoffs, that I would have to go behind his back and be negotiating with people he was working with every day.
Right.
And that's just not something that I would ever do to him, and just not the way... I don't know that anybody would do that in the National Hockey League. So I felt I knew we had good candidates. I know that there were some people outside of the game as well that were available. As I narrowed it down, I just felt that our candidates inside, specifically Mark Hunter and Kyle Dubas, were the two best ones.
Mark Hunter's biggest thing that he brings to the table is finding talent and bringing them in the organization. How difficult or complicated or awkward is it going into the draft with him saying that he's not going to be a part of the organization anymore?
Well, I want to make it clear that Mark did offer, he and I and he and Kyle had some conversations, and he felt that he wanted to move on at the end of this year. But he made it clear to me that if we wanted him to remain to do this draft, that he would do that. Upon a little bit of reflection and talking with Kyle Dubas, I went back to Mark and said that we think it would be better off for everyone, including our scouting staff and just all the constituents that support the Toronto Maple Leafs, that we just make the cut now and make it clean and not try to perform any sort of dishonesty or people talk, people understand, people knew what was going on. I think it would be uncomfortable for Mark. I think it would be uncomfortable for Kyle, and it's just not something we wanted to do. So when I spoke to Mark, he actually, in spite of his offer to do that, he agreed that it was probably the best thing to go our separate ways.
Brendan Shanahan in studio. You know the way the rumor mill works. I mean, you guys have done a remarkable job of keeping everything in-house. But with all this movement and everything that's happened, you know, people talk and people start buzzing. Are you at all concerned that your scouting staff will be leaving with Hunter, or are they fully committed to working with the Maple Leafs?
You know, I think more importantly, you look at Kyle Dubas, and he's the general manager, and he'll be making those decisions. I'm sure there are tweaks and changes that he will want to make in how we evaluate and how we present our meetings, just little nuances, not big sweeping changes. But the staff remains. The staff is under contract. I don't imagine a mass exodus. As a matter of fact, Kyle is in Regina right now with many of our scouts watching a couple of games until he rejoins the Marlies tomorrow. We had some people in the office today. So we're all going to miss Mark. We all like Mark very much, but it's not a case now of people running out the door.
Brennan, we were talking before you came on about everything is optics, right? So I was saying, you know, you're a bright hockey mind. Kyle's a bright hockey mind. Lou's a bright hockey mind, as well as Mark Hunter. And I also throw Jacques Lemaire into the mix. I don't know where he fits. So you've got four really smart hockey people, and then you're down to two. So is it a situation where, you know, you talk with Kyle and you're looking to add to your staff heading into next season to kind of shape up some numbers again? I guess I didn't bring in Brandon Pridham as well as a bright hockey mind.
Yeah, and well, I'll say this. We're aware of optics. I think optics are important to the extent that you care about what people who invest in your team, their emotions, you care how they feel, and you care that they, for a while there, it was about hope, and then it was about trust, and then it was about optimism. But you don't let optics make your decisions for you. So on a day like today, we're always going to feel like it's a day in which we're talking about people departing. So you're definitely going to feel like you've lost some really good voices in the room.
Right.
But we weren't caught off guard by this. We weren't caught by surprise. These are obviously decisions that I made knowing what the likely ramifications were. And so over the next period of time, it'll be about replacing some of those voices. But on a day like today, you definitely appear weaker, and it's our job to sort of just pick up from here and seek out some of those strengths that we had that maybe are missing this morning, and replace some of those voices.
Brendan Shanahan in studio. I think unfairly it will reflect on Kyle, and I think there's been some ageism, quite frankly, directed towards him. Because he's a young guy, he's never been a GM in the league, and this idea that he's a new school, kind of numbers-oriented guy, which I think has probably been unfair as well. And the same thing on the flip side of Mark Hunter, this idea that he's just a grit-grinding, like, rink-rat, old-school guy,
right,
which probably isn't true either. But take us through your decision-making when it came to Dubas, because that's ultimately what we're dealing with in the future. You've handed the keys over to him. Why were you so comfortable with that?
Well, if you go back 4 years ago when I came on board, first off, let me just say I had never been a team president before. So if the premise was you had to have job experience to do a good to do a job or to try and do it well, then I wouldn't have been hired either. So somebody showed faith in me, which I want to reward those people with good hard work. And so for me, I was always about looking for the best person. If that person had experience, great. If they didn't, I think people sometimes underestimate the work that Kyle has done so far because of his age. Mm-hmm. This isn't his first job. 4 years resurrecting a junior A program in a very competitive league. 4 years as a general manager of the Toronto Marlies. He's built our R&D department. He's built our development program. He's built our sports science department. And like I said, he's a guy that you've got to chase out of a hockey rink. I think he was a great candidate. If you go back 4 years ago when I was hiring people here, I was hiring people strictly based off what I had heard about them and resumes where they had success in other organizations. So I had heard about somebody who did something really well in New Jersey, somebody who had done something really well for Detroit, Sault Ste. Marie, London Knights, Brandon Pridham with the National Hockey League. But over the last 4 years, I've had a behind closed doors view of all of these people and all of these decisions working together so that I was able to make a more informed decision on frankly, some of the information doesn't necessarily out to the public. I didn't necessarily have to rely on somebody's success in another city. So succession is important to me. I think I have to thank Lou again for so much of the work that he did in helping our people grow. And without, you know, really sort of going through the minutiae and the details of all the things I see in Kyle, I'll just simply say that knowing the ramifications of a day like today where we were going to lose people, I think whatever decision I had to make this summer for a general manager, I was likely going to lose the other two.
Right.
So rather than focus on what we were going to lose, I really focused my energy on what we were going to gain. And I thought that the best person for the Maple Leafs going forward was going to be Kyle Dubas.
So does your role change at all? Like now that, you know, Dubas is here, lose out.
Yeah,
how does your role change in terms of the hockey operations?
I don't think my role changes. I think that people, again, underestimate, maybe it's ageism, Kyle's competence. The same way that I gave Lou the freedom to make choices and to be the general manager, you have to do the same for Kyle. There to support him, the same way I was there to support Lou. There are a lot of people that will imagine different dynamics that, you know, the coach or different scouts. People respect the position. Lou actually had a great respect for the pyramid of a hockey organization. I would say there's even been some stuff that I've heard and read that concern about Mike. You know, Mike is a guy that is always going to give his opinion, but he's never going to demand his opinions are met. And so, again, the dynamic between Mike and Lou, Mike and Kyle, I've had 4 years, 3 years to observe it. If I didn't think it was going to work, I wouldn't have made this choice and this decision. I've heard that Mike, in his contract, reports to me. He doesn't. he's got a contract like every other NHL coach. Maybe just some bigger numbers than some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he reports to the general manager like every other coach in the NHL. And look, it's Toronto. People care, and they're going to speculate. And at the end of the day, I've seen those two work together. I've seen them get along. I've seen the respect between the two of them. These are not all new things that are going to sneak up on me. Will we have challenges? Absolutely. Did we have them with Lou? We absolutely had them. That's part of working in hockey.
What do you think about Mike and Austin Matthews? The big talk about them flying to see each other. Is that just the coach wanting to talk with his best player? And
I think the only thing strange about it was that it just got reported. And that's Mike. Mike's met with several other players. He did it last year as well. I think sometimes things get made a little bit bigger deal. Relationship with players and coaches evolve. Mike's tough on players because he expects a lot from them. So did the Jacques Lemaires of the world, and so do the Joel Quenvilles of the world and the Scotty Bowmans of the world. And it's not always pleasant. And I used to say that when I first got here, that if you think Pittsburgh or skipping around the streets, or Chicago or L.A., or skipping around the streets with Daryl Sutter, it wasn't probably nice every day with Daryl Sutter either.
No.
It's the relationship between player and coach, and I commend Mike for, at the end of the year, getting out of the hockey arena environment and going down and sitting with several of our players, sitting with their mom and dad or their wife or their kids, and getting to know them a little bit better.
I've always been fascinated by that dynamic, though, because you can put yourself in both positions, and you kind of have to, now that you're on the executive side of things, you're going to side more than likely with your hirings and with your executive team, but you understand the importance of star players. Hmm. You were one, you were a Hall of Fame player. So if a guy like Matthews reaches out to you, is there some trepidation about talking to him? Do you meet with him? Are you honest with him? I mean, how would you handle a relationship with Austin Matthews as the president of the team, but if he wants to reach out to you and talk to you as Brendan Shanahan, the player, as opposed to the president, his president? I mean, how would you handle a scenario like that?
Well, first off, I would communicate it with the rest of our staff, so there's no sort of behind closed doors or secrets or anything like that. But I would meet with any player on our team, from a star player to a young player at his first ever training camp. If You know, I saw Serge Savard get interviewed recently, and he's somebody that I really respected as an executive. And one thing that he said is you can never forget, although you're no longer a player, you can never forget what it's like to be a player. And so you always try to see things from their perspective and try to remember that although it's a great career, it can sometimes be a difficult job. Not that anybody wants to give it away, not that anybody wants to stop doing it, but it can you can have your difficult night. So for me, it doesn't matter who the player was on our team. If somebody wanted to meet, I'd communicate with our GM and I'd communicate with our coach, make sure that everybody knew it was happening. And if I thought that was going to be helpful, I would do it.
With Lou leaving, Kyle taking over, obviously he's going to develop his own managerial style. Will some of the things, I guess, come from you as far as, I mean, Lou came in and it was almost like there was this cone of silence. And I don't know if that was from the top down from you to Lou, or Lou said, this is how I like to work as a manager. We noticed it in the media, obviously. Rookie's not available in certain situations, you know, the facial hair, the things that obviously Lou came with from New Jersey. Is Kyle going to implement some of those things? Are you going to allow him to do that? Are there some things that Lou has put in place that you guys are very comfortable with to continue on?
Again, if I think when you hire a general manager, you have to let him do his job. And you're it's funny, on the way in here, I heard Lou getting interviewed today, and he was describing his new role with the New York Islanders, and he was essentially describing, you know, my job description. You oversee things, and you make sure to the best of your abilities that things are running smoothly, and you put good people in place, and you hope that they all work well together. So I think Kyle probably saw some things from Lou that he really liked, and I think there's probably other areas where he's not going to try to imitate Lou. But certainly, even for myself, there are things that you, working with Lou closely for 3 years, there are things you're going to learn. And shame on you if you worked for Lou Lamoriello for 3 years and didn't learn something.
Brendan Shanahan in studio. Well, you know, in terms of the promotion of players, you know, Lou is always team first. You play for the name on the front as opposed to the back. I wouldn't expect that changes. I mean, that's usually cliched throughout the whole sports world. But you do have some young stars, like a guy like Matthews, who's kind of hitting a level here that's almost unprecedented. I mean, you would know this growing up in the city, the magnitude of a Sittler or a Solming, Clark and Gilmore, etc. But Matthews is on, it feels like he's growing into a different level. Are you comfortable with that kind of celebrity? Do you try to clamp down on that celebrity? I mean, how do you handle that in a city like this where he's as big as he already is?
Well, I think that everybody just has to keep things in perspective of what we're really here to do first and foremost, and that's play hockey. And I think a lot of the rest of it is fun for players. I think that players enjoy social media. I think that to take away some of the things that they have just grown up with, we're different. Players are different from different eras. There's no going out to dinner on the road. Usually they're having room service and playing video games.
Nobody goes out for dinner.
Well, management does, though.
So heartbreaking.
I remember even toward the end of my career, seeing guys on our team playing poker together, and they were all sitting in different seats around the plane. I thought, what's the fun of playing poker if you can't look a guy in the eye and slap the queen down on him? But yeah. Well, that's not poker, that's hearts. But I think that you have to allow them to be themselves, but I always think that you just have to make sure that the focus is on what's most important, which is playing hockey and having success. I don't think that changes here with our coaching staff that we have, again with our management staff that we have in place. I don't think that changes whatsoever in any way.
We'll get you out on a kind of appraisal of where your team's at, because you guys have really grown. I mean, 3 years ago, you're the last place team in the league. This year, you're setting franchise records in terms of points and home wins, yet 2 years in a row out in the first round. Like, how close do you feel like you guys are to breaking through and getting over that hump?
Well, we have some challenges in front of us, and I think that there's some important decisions coming up. But I like the direction we're going, you know, I read somewhere, and it's true, like sometimes duration has to be a part of your plan. And I think that that is something that we've really tried to be mindful of is, you know, to continue to develop. And, you know, really, quite honestly, it's all things all teams are trying to do. And we're all trying to be better. Right now, there's only three teams left. We all want to get to where they are. We have an idea. We have a plan. Other teams have ideas and plans. Some are similar. Some are different. They might be right. We might be wrong. All I can say is we've been lucky with some of the players we've acquired. We've been lucky with the staffs that we have in place. We feel we're pointed in the right direction, but we have to continually be getting better. The idea of standing still in the NHL doesn't work. You get passed by very quickly. So a lot of the things we've done this summer was a recognition of taking next steps and not just simply standing pat.
He is the president of the Maple Leafs, Brendan Shanahan. We appreciate you fighting the traffic to come up here. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
Here's Brendan Shanahan, president of the Maple Leafs.